Welcome to EQCast. I'm your host, Christy Pritchard. This is where you can find authentic conversations with inspiring humans about mindfulness, self-awareness, emotional intelligence, and spirituality. Today on the show, I'd like to welcome Joss Hannaford. She's an emergency medicine practitioner, a teacher by trade, as well as a Reiki master, a violin teacher, and she does an energy medicine work and RTT hypnotherapy. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. So awesome to be here.
Yes, definitely. And if I
it did
take a little bit too. I think like we've been talking for a couple of months and I just really dug your vibe and another British Columbian here. And yeah, you just have a lot of interesting things on your Instagram and a lot of knowledge. And so I'm hoping to jump into some of that today because everyone needs knowledge around healing.
Happy to share. You bet.
Thank you. Yeah, everyone needs some healing right now. We're going through a lot. There's a big shift happening and energetically speaking, and I know we could use all the help and support that we can get from each other. So with your RTT hypnotherapy, what does the RTT stand for?
Rapid Transformational Therapy. In the line of work that I do, I work deeply in emotional rooted issues with clients. And I have been trying to find for the last 3 years a deeper way of going into the human psyche, the human emotional centers, to get to the root of it quicker and to hopefully pull it out quicker. So I waited. And then finally, I just saw these advertisements from Marissa Pierce about rapid transformation.
Yes, that's where I saw that for. Yeah, I was actually tempted to dabble in that myself. Interesting. Yeah, I love the course. Was it amazing?
Yeah, she just did. And so I just highly resonated. It was just like kind of like this energy came in, just like boom. And my, I get the good signs.
The hair the next day.
Just the whole energy starts running down my back. I'm like, oh, this is it. This is what I'm supposed to be doing.
I got the arm right now. Love it.
That's awesome. And it is. It's something that, I've been looking for to be able to support myself, honestly, because I think it's more like you really have to experience it for yourself before you are able to really explore that with others. And honestly, I did it for myself first, yet also in the back of my mind that I wanted to work already with my existing clientele with this format too. So within the schooling, I really had to take some time, my own time, to move through all of the deeper rooted issues that I had to work with, because I've been on this path for a very long time. I've done a massive amounts of inner child work. I've been working in this area for the last 15 years. So it's nothing new to me per se in shadow work, child work, I was so impressed where my mind took me under hypnotherapy. So within the schooling, you get hypnotherapy done on you as well. And it really uncovered and uncovered some memories that I didn't even know were there, or even belief systems. So it is around the belief system, what your child decides to believe about itself at a certain time in life. And then the rapid transformational therapy just transforms you out of it.
Right. Exactly. And how many sessions did it take for you?
1 to 3, usually. If it's like a deeper rooted issue, but like, if you wanted to stop smoking, it would be like maybe 3, because it's a bit more ingrained, the habitual pattern there. But you also get sent home with you like a recording for 21 days. So you want to break the habit.
So you continue and do it every single day. Okay. I didn't.
For 21 days though, so you can break the habit, because the hypno goes in and actually shifts your subconscious. So it's gone. It's gone. It's transformed. Yet you need to break the human habit.
The actual human. Yeah. The 3D habit. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Fascinating. Yeah, I didn't actually do the full 21 days. Maybe I should go back and revisit her videos then.
It helps for me. I definitely noticed, I knew that some things were just like on automatically. I could feel it, because when you're in it, you actually get guided in to understand that you're the one that's actually making the changes and the understandings, that the therapist isn't doing it for you.
Exactly.
Yes, the therapist is guiding you in, yet you're the one that's actually listening to your own subconscious and why you chose that belief system in the first place. And you actually have the whole power to create a completely different one.
Amazing. Yeah. They're basically they're holding the flashlight while you walk through the tunnel.
Just like that.
I love it.
So to me, it's been phenomenal. Honestly, I haven't had so much growth in this short period of time within my entire life.
Wow. Amazing. So very rapid then, and very functional. I love it. She named it perfectly.
She really did. And the rapid being like, you have to be prepared for the rapid. Yep. You want to always make sure that you're nurturing yourself, you're taking time to take care and that space, not to force it, I was in a space in life, I suppose, where I knew that I needed to take time and be gentle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because if you have deep-rooted traumas, it takes some time.
It does really take some time. And that awareness, even coming into the awareness element of those traumas, is probably one of the hardest parts. I think I was even talking about this in an earlier podcast. It's mm-hmm. taking that step to understand, oh, hey, yeah, I do have some issues here. And that's like mm-hmm. the biggest and hardest step. And then from there, it's finding the modes that work with you and taking that space and being gentle with yourself is key.
Yeah,
it's paramount.
Without judgment, that's the big one.
That's the hardest part, probably. That's a whole thing in itself, is trying to figure out how not to judge and to recognize mm-hmm. the shame and be completely okay and at peace with that shame, because we all have mm-hmm. it. And these conversations help, because you get to share, oh, hey, I have that shame too. And if somebody else has it and you know that they have it as well, it gives it less power, I feel like.
Absolutely. And the more, because I feel like that's the one that holds quite strongly in humans and people, is the shame. And the shame can manifest in so many different kinds of diseases.
Yes.
You know, sure. And once there's more around that for sure, yet it all, not all, but a lot of it can reside in shame. And if you can just bring light to it, share it,
absolutely.
It transforms.
It does.
Like you say, it's just like talking about.
Yeah, exactly. It's so true. It's phenomenal how true that is. And it's such a simple act of sharing and being vulnerable that transforms mm-hmm. that as well in a pretty rapid way as well. And today we had planned on talking about shadow work and light work, and which is funny with the analogy of the tunnel and the light I just used. I was like, oh, that ties in perfectly to how we're going to structure our conversation today. And we talked about your RTT, and I'm really glad we did touch on that, because it's a very helpful form of healing for people out there. And I haven't actually had a therapist on here for that. And I've talked about my own experience with it, but it was pretty short. So it was transformational, though. I remember leaving my first experience and coming home and being in like this buzz-like state. And I was in a bit of shock, too. I was just, because I also had to leave. She had a new client coming in and she was like, nobody's left crying before, but I had to go. But I just remember having that feeling of like completion, almost like something had been mm-hmm. opened, like a door had been opened. So highly suggest people checking that out and mm-hmm. contacting you as well. But we're also going to talk about food for healing and mm-hmm. our diet, the importance of that, and our nervous system, how food interacts with our nervous system as well, and tie into all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Food is huge.
Yes, it is. And it's kind of, that's where my shame comes in, because it comes and goes. Like, I generally eat well, but I'm also not really strict on myself. I allow myself things from time to time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I feel like it is a moderation thing. It's also kind of feeding yourself high vibrational foods. And the high vibrational food could be the food itself, or whatever energy that you put into.
Absolutely. Yes. I was actually talking about this in a previous podcast, because I look at food, or maybe I think it was just a conversation I was having with a friend, actually, because I look at food in a very different way. Like, when I look at my chocolate, I don't say, oh, bad girl, you're eating chocolate. I'm like, oh, bless my chocolate. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's like my nighttime treat to have a couple of squares. Yeah. And it's the energy that I attach to it, which is positive. And mm-hmm. and I think that really makes a world of difference.
It's the difference, I believe, like a huge one. And just the energy of food itself. And with anything that's grown around the world, too, you can see what energy is put into it by its surroundings. Or, you know, you can see almost like the whole line of where it gets to before you put it in your mouth. And the beautiful thing about this energy work, too, is that even if you know that perhaps that piece of food isn't necessarily high vibrational, you can do energy work with it
in order,
and just to do a lot of prayer. Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah,
and
so you can pay attention,
say grace before dinner. We've lost that. We've totally lost that. And our food is coming from worse places. It's coming mm-hmm. from, you know, a lot of factories, and the farming system is incredibly mm-hmm. toxic nowadays. Mm-hmm. I'm really hoping that'll change. I just watched a documentary before I canceled my Netflix called Little Big Farm. It was so cute. And I was like, if we can just change and transform so many, like the entire farming industry to mm-hmm. be more like that. And every community and area have something like that and pitch into it, we would have a completely different food system and
The system definitely is needing to change for sure.
Yeah,
it is, though, you know, slowly.
It
is. Because I think more awareness is being brought to it. So I feel like in that regard, it's good. Yeah, there is definitely some work to be done for sure.
Definitely. I think we're going to hit a point where there's going to be no other choice. Like, our topsoil is eroding. Scientists mm-hmm. are starting to step up. I'm really hoping that there's going to be a tipping point at some point, I'm sure. And I feel like we're close because there's a lot of drained energy right now. And usually prior to a big shift and a big change, it's when we were both talking earlier about how we're both pretty freaking tired energetically. And that's just because there's a huge collective movement and shift happening right now. And I know I've definitely been feeling it. So hopefully that involves the farming system and food system as well with that shift. I don't think it can shift without that because food is our main source of energy. So
absolutely. And we need to be able to create those spaces that we can grow our own food.
Yeah, definitely.
Bringing knowledge around that, you know, just it is happening. Like up here in the north, it's really lovely. All the schools, they're really learning that type of.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
Yeah. And teaching all the kids, you know, where did your food come from? Going out and pledging, seeing the boxes. Like, it's happening, which I'm really happy. Yeah, it's really beautiful. And even up here, because it's in the north, and there's, like, obviously, you have worked up here for a time, too, that the growing season is shorter.
Yes.
And so there's, like, new innovative ways to do it.
Yeah.
And the greenhouses and...
And there's just ground. I've seen people digging in the ground and to use that as insulation as well, which is fascinating. And hydro or like indoor stuff, you know, if we can grow weed indoors, we can grow vegetables. Like,
totally. And you know, those vegetable towers too.
I've seen those. You know, those are really cool. Do you have one of those?
Not yet. That's on my mind. There's a few, few of my friends up here. And I'm like, okay, now that I've moved back up here, I feel like I'm settling again and I will probably get a tower.
Yeah, definitely. They're so interesting. And like, they're just so handy. They're right in your kitchen. Like, how can you go wrong from having fresh food?
Just even if it was just herbs, you know, adding that fresh. Because it's high vibrational food. If it's live, it's high vibration. If it's not live, it's probably dead.
Exactly.
It's dead food, unfortunately. But we can transform the dead foods through our prayer and the energy work and whatever else we do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So is that how you've done a lot of your light work? Like, have you worked with food? I know you work with music as well, and I want to touch on that also. But I know you do. Yeah, you do a lot of light work. I liked how you wanted to refer to it as light work rather than shadow work. I like the
image. I'm happy with both, honestly. There's a part that I believe that's really important that we embody both our light and our dark.
Yes.
And really important to really love both.
Absolutely.
And really to get into that shadow, because our shadow ends up being really beautiful. From my own experience, I've accessed that through my inner child work and the inner child work that I guide clients through as well. And honestly, one of the biggest tools I've had in this lifetime to help me get back to my wholeness of who I am.
Yes. And it's great. Child. I agree.
And the inner child work and going in and what I explain it sometimes, because it's really hard to understand it sometimes, what inner child is. Not everyone would understand when someone would say that. And so to explain it, it's
how do
you know,
explain it,
any kind of feeling that you have, say if you have anger or anxiety, or it's coming from somewhere. And so I tend to ask the client to start asking themselves, like, usually that's your inner child talking to you.
Yeah.
And your inner child is anywhere from now and to when you were in the womb. Yeah. And so it's kind of like a traction kind of method where you kind of ask your little one inside, and it's usually a visualization process, or you just get to feel into. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people get the visual, some people get a feeling, and then you just kind of ask that feeling, what is it that you need from me right now?
Yeah.
And some people haven't even connected to their inner child their entire life, so they have no idea. So
and
if you
how, and how to even connect to it as well. And I think that's the really challenging part still, to make that correlation between, well, how do I know that's inner child? And I don't know, like for me, it was more simple because I went through hypnotherapy to find mine and the visualization and having that guide there. But if you're just telling someone on their own, how would you go about having them recognize, like, and I know you said if it's fear or anger, but is there like, do you actually visualize yourself as a child? Do you think that would be a good way to get somebody who's really not familiar with this process at all, like to really simplify it?
Simplify it. What I would do is actually grab like two teddies.
Yeah.
And what is being your female inner child and what is your male inner child?
Interesting.
And you actually speak to them. If they want to be tangible and if you were to actually learn visions, so you actually name them.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it's important. And then you can actually start again to speak and have a dialogue with your inner child. So if you can't do it in here, at least you're speaking to
something.
Teddy.
Yes.
And then when those feelings come up, you can ask like and right away tell them how much you love them. That I always go to that person, tell them how much you love them, how much that they are enough just as they are. Yeah. And I'm here to be with you and hold space with you. And I'm never not going to be here. Because if you think about it, some levels of trauma come from a space where we have disconnected from ourselves. And we need to get that place back. And that place back is usually your inner child that has stepped out.
Yeah.
That needs to come back. And so we have to create that safe space for our own self, our inner child, to actually come. Because our inner child has felt abandoned the entire time. And we don't realize that. That's the kind of material part. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, I actually haven't abandoned my inner child.
I didn't even myself. Yeah.
Yes. You know, and then the links start happening. And it's like, oh. And then you start getting into the feeling. Like if you're feeling a certain way, or usually, for me, it's usually anxiety. And I never really figured out, I'm like, why am I so anxious all the time? And I had to sit with my inner child and really ask them, her, him, one of them would come through, or maybe both of them would come through, and just ask, like, what's going on? What do you need?
Yeah.
And usually they would start having like a dialogue, or a feeling would come back. And from my experience, from what people have experienced, is that they get a visual, then they can start talking.
Yeah.
And then they just have this, inner dialogue. And then it doesn't take that long. Sometimes it takes maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah.
5-10 minutes.
Quickly touch base and just reach out. And
And I even would say people that can't access their inner child right away, they just speak with them. Just be like, hey, how's it going? I'm here when you need me. And then over time, then they start really connecting more and more and having the dialogue. And it's been super powerful work. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
super powerful. And then in that, you are accessing your shadow, because that's usually
where the
forgotten memories. Those feelings
pushed away and memories forgotten. Yes.
Yes.
Let's
totally
forget them. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I personally forgot my memories for years.
Yeah. And I still am grappling with finding mine. And the only time I found it was in hypnotherapy.
Mine has more so through hypnotherapy. Prior to that was the inner child work. And yet the hypnotherapy took me even deeper.
Deeper.
And I'm like, oh,
there was like, where are those remnants that I was trying to, even through the inner child work, still trying to stuff down. Yeah, it's amazing what our subconscious is capable of forgetting just for our own safety. This is our fight or flight method. This is how we keep ourselves safe, is by forgetting certain things or pushing things down. So this work is really, really important. And then after there, we feel more clear. Once you start clearing that energy out, once you recognize it, it's amazing the energy shifts. I don't think I could be functioning as well, considering what kind of energy we're in right now, had I not done some of this work prior. So kudos to those who are digging in while we're going through this, because it takes a lot of courage and strength, but any time in your life to do it. And right now, it's really important that we do it. I think it's the most important time to do it. And I think a lot of people are waking up to not only the importance of that, but just the necessity of it. I think it's becoming like a necessity.
Yeah, because I think all of us really want to feel more whole and peaceful in life.
Exactly.
More often. Consistency, right? The constant and consistency of it. And me, you know, I'm not there. But I've always
consistency fully is a thing. But mainly consistency, you know,
And the idea too is in my own experience, because I hit my lows and my highs, and the thing is that the highs and the lows are still there, and yet I don't judge them so much. And I think that's the work around it too, is that you don't judge when you're actually going in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a journey.
It took a day on Monday, and I used to feel guilty for stuff like that. But this Monday, I didn't. I was exhausted, and I just, something just felt off. And I did as much work as I could from the couch, on my pajamas, on my laptop, and did not. And I used to give myself crap for that. I would feel guilty for an entire week thinking that I lost time. And now I'm like, thank you for taking that time to look after yourself.
Yeah,
like, that's really necessary. And then the rest of the week, I can function at a higher capacity because I took that time. And so that's another part of it. Yeah, that acceptance of, we all need it. We all need to take it. So just take it when you can. And so to bring food back into it, how do you go about blessing your food? What do you say? How do you, if you don't mind sharing?
It's not personal. When I'm actually preparing my food, as soon as I take it out of the fridge, I have this feeling that comes in. I ask for, because I do a lot of Reiki. So my intention is that Reiki energy comes in and really transforms food into food that's really loving for my body. and for my mind and my spirit. And so as I'm preparing my food, it doesn't happen all the time. Honestly, I'm trying to do that all the time. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Sometimes we have to think about
it. It's not happening all the time, but when I'm very cautious about it, I really take the time to really just the awareness and just being present with my food and to bless it. And just to, and say if I am at a restaurant, sometimes you'll see me with my hands over the top of my plate and I can feel it actually. And even if you don't feel it, it doesn't really matter. It's more like the intention. And I just,
and you might feel it in other places too. Yeah. Like everyone's different. So
And I just thank the food for being here on my plate in the first place, for whoever's made it, for wherever it came from. And then for when it comes into my own body, that my body loves it. The food loves me. And then just the integration and the merge of it. And that it's actually super conducive for me and my higher self and
everything.
It becomes quite like second nature sometimes. And I notice I'm doing it. And it's just, over time, it does become second nature. And same with water too. I find it very important with water.
Yes. I have a jar of water that I write, I give lovely little affirmations on and give it love and bless it. And
I put it in like the moon too, like a little bit.
Ooh, I like that. Real witchy. I like it. All about the witchiness. Absolutely. That's awesome.
It's all about the intention, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Thing. It just is like, and the moon, why wouldn't you want the moon's energy in our water? I'm sorry.
Exactly. It's true. Well, isn't that where the water signs come from?
I'm sure.
That's out of my scope. I'll have to have an astrology on here.
That's
beyond my grade. So as food tying into our central nervous system as well, how does that affect that part of us? Because I know a lot of us are running on fight or flight. So how does the food that you eat and the energy that you give it, how would that maybe affect your central nervous system? And if people are running on survival mode, do you think that would help in that regard?
Yeah, absolutely. I find that, I guess I would only be able to speak from my own experience that like my body literally craves plant foods, like meats, like live food coming in.
Yeah.
And whether it's vegetables, fruit, however it is, it warrant, you want to keep your body at less of an inflammation. So foods that are less geared towards that, because everybody's different.
Everyone is different. Definitely.
Everyone is different. So I find it's interesting the reason why I say that, because sometimes it's really important to eat a lot of sugar sometimes, because that's what your inner child needs.
Do
you know what I mean?
Definitely.
You know what I mean? So it's not like
my inner child comes out every night then. A little square of chocolate. It doesn't have any sugar in it, but not much. That's true. You have to listen. Yeah.
Yes. But it all comes down to, I find, is that we are here to experience joy.
Yeah.
And joy is through our food, through what we're doing, through being outside in nature. It's about joy. I know people need to compartmentalize it into, this is the food that I'm putting into my body. This is the work that I'm doing spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Those compartments, yet they are all combined, because one does not work without the other.
Yeah, very true.
You know, and it is the mind, body, spirit. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that. So the food is so important too, you know, it just is within that. Yet we say it's really important when you enjoy your food.
Yeah.
If you enjoy your food, in my mind, I'm like, eat whatever you want.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it, that you know what enjoy is. It's not enjoy feeling the want. It's the enjoyment about, this is doing wonders for my body. This feels so good because it's going to make me feel amazing.
Yeah. Making that decipher between, is it a craving? How would you do that? Like making sure that it's not just a craving, but it's coming from the ego, but a want, you know what I mean?
Yep. I actually have experiences of this. I definitely have had my issues with food growing up. I used to have an eating disorder, all based in emotional trauma that I needed to heal. So working through being bulimic for years, I've had this relationship with food, and then coming out of that relationship, that kind of relationship with food, understanding that it's super important to connect to your food.
Right.
And does it bring you joy?
Yes.
Is it joy? Is it joyful going in, and does it make you feel good? Because the food going in must make your body feel good. So your mind feels good. So your spirit feels good. So then you feel like you want to move your body. You know, it's like, that's how I view food.
Yeah.
For me, is that it has to bring joy into my whole being, though.
Exactly. Into your whole being. And that includes body. You have to want to eat it. You have to want to eat it. And everyone has different tastes, but also thankfully everyone has different body types as well. So some people's bodies are gear and blood types. I don't know if that's in alignment with. And so I really believe that it makes sense to me, you know, it just makes sense that not every body is going to work on a vegan diet, but maybe some really do. And not everybody is going to work on a carnivore diet, but maybe some people do.
Yes.
For me, I just need balance. I know that for a fact. And I can eat most things like without, actually, I can eat pretty much anything without issue. I don't have allergies to anything. And I also think that might come with how I've always kind of defaulted to look at food. Like I've never looked at it as the enemy, you know. I've never had an unhealthy relationship to food. Other things, yes, I have unhealthy relationships to other things, but not my food.
One thing I wanted to go back to, because I felt like I missed it with the what I wanted to say about the emotional part of it. So say I've had emotional attachment to food, and a lot of people have. I've worked with a lot of people too. It's more like I can tell when it's a want or if it's a joy. If it's that kind of the deciphering. So when I decipher, I have to, sometimes when somebody is going to the fridge or getting their food out, they have an emotion, there's emotion going on. And sometimes that has happened for me where I'm like, there's this emotion. I literally have to sit with my emotion before I'm going to eat whatever it is I'm eating, because I know that it's not about the food. It's about what emotion is going on. I'm here that I need to settle. And after that, once I've transmuted it, I no longer need to eat that maybe not so great piece of food.
Amazing. So how do you go about recognizing that emotion, and then how do you go about transmuting it? Sorry, I'm gonna
totally. So the awareness, I think that's the huge key, is just like, how am I feeling when I'm eating this food? How am I
really getting into your body?
You know, really getting into your body. And in these days, it's not easy for a lot of people, because we're just so used to
running on autopilot. And numbing out in survival mode.
Mm-hmm. And I find another lovely thing is to really just have things in your fridge that you know that are really great for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
And be prepared.
Yes. Yeah. Being prepared. That's a whole other thing. Everyone needs to be a little prepared right now, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, we never know. Like it's good to have, I have lots of like dried soups and stuff in my cupboard, like lentils and oatmeal, nourishing things, so that I'm not just eating canned food if our supply chain goes down or something happens, well, you know, heaven forbid. But we have to be realistic right now too. But we also have to think about our health as well. Like you can't just survive off string beans and canned soup. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
The whole foods are really good too.
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of whole foods do you eat the most of?
Basically, I eat anything that is basically closest to the earth as possible. And when I say that, it's just like, I do stay away from canned foods. I stay away from, not that they're not great.
I mean, they might have a time and a place for sure. Some issues, but
I feel like I eat those last. It's not that I don't have them. They're kind of like last. I eat a lot of fresh things if I can, and a lot of whole grains, and then frozen comes next. Because frozen is the next best fresh thing to eat, and can't get fresh kind of thing. And my body just tends to want that. And so I listen to my body. I think because our body is like a huge communicator for us too, it's really important to listen to what our body needs. Our body is communicating to us intuitively about what we need too, spiritually, mentally, and
It ties in. And once you start clearing out that work and that doing that inner child work, it can communicate, I think, a lot more fluidly. And with better choices as well. It becomes kind of a default to have those better choices, because you're in tune with your body and because you want to respect it and give it the best things possible. But until we get to that point, I feel like it's really hard to have that communication with our body, you know. I mean, it can be done, but clearing that stuff out, I tell you, it's a world.
It takes time. Yeah. And I think too, even when we're listening to our body, we listen and we hear, yet we must act on it too.
Yes.
So it's great that we hear it, yet what are we going to do?
Yeah. I'm kind of at that stage. I'm like, I know I hear you, but I'm just like, man.
This is where progress rate in this way. Yes. You know, I get it, because my days are all over the place right now. So the thing is, I don't judge it anymore.
I was just going to say that. And I don't judge myself at all either. And that's the thing, that guilt, that shame, when you attach that to the choices that may not be the best, I think that's just another layer of crap that we don't need. Just do the best you can. Forgive yourself. I don't know. That's kind of that's how I roll. And like I said, I've never had too much of a bad attachment with food, but I do try, and I don't know whether or not it's because I'm just not fully, like I'm listening, but I'm not bringing it into application, or I don't know if it's just, that's my natural state with food, is that I just believe it's energy, all of it, and I'm just grateful for it, you know? So I don't know.
Wonderful.
I'm hoping to get some more insights this weekend. I'm sitting with a plant and I'm wondering, one of my intentions is just to find out if I'm doing, like, if what I'm doing is working for me. I just kind of want to know some clarity around how the path that I'm going down. So, and that does involve food. It involves my habits. It involves everything. Yes. So, yeah. So I'm interested.
The plants will tell you.
Yes. I'm sure. I hope gently.
Oh, I'm so happy. I know. I'm so happy for your journey. That's great.
Thank you.
So much wisdom and information that comes through.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I'm not sure if you've had experience or want to talk about it, but yes, you have.
Absolutely. Yes, plant medicines are quite lovely. I can speak liberally.
I'm actually doing a whole YouTube video on my journey. So we're definitely, I'm doing ayahuasca. Yeah. I've just mentioned it so many times on my other episodes that I felt so silly bringing it up again. So that's why I didn't mention the name, but.
Oh yeah, yes, no worries.
I'm doing ayahuasca. So I don't know if you have particular experience with that.
Yeah. So when I was in Peru living there, I've done a few ceremonies. Not that you need to do a few ceremonies, because that was my whole learning back then, that you don't need to do so many.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm doing one. Quite grateful.
You only need to do one for your life. I had the privilege to sit in ayahuasca. Huachuma, San Pedro?
San Pedro. Next.
That is,
I was lucky enough to come into contact with some, and now I'm just finding a ceremony leader and doing all of that process. So yes, I'm really excited. What was your experience with Huachuma? I'm really interested.
Yeah, Huachuma is like the grandfather of the jungle.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And just like, at first it's like 4 hours, and you have to, get to your peak, but right in there, those 4 hours is a lot of like a little bit of a grind, and it's the emotions, whatever needs to comes out, and then you reach the kind of the peaker top of the journey, and then things just and become so connected, very present moment with the earth, anything around you, stillness happens, time goes, it's just, you have no idea what time is. It doesn't matter.
And,
there's just so many visions that come, there's so many like epiphanies, very in such a slow way that you have time to process.
Amazing.
And everything.
Yeah.
And when you're in it with ayahuasca, ayahuasca is like the mother.
Let's get this done.
And it's just
Oh my goodness. So amazing.
That's going to be me. That's so much of a description.
It seems very accurate from the people I've talked to.
It's it's super humbling.
A little gritty, but
super humbling. So I had my first kind of phase with ayahuasca, then I did Huachuma, and then I came back, and then right after that I did some ayahuasca again with a different type of medicine, so it's Hawaiian.
I didn't realize there were several grandmothers out there. Very interesting. Very intrigued.
So I'm really excited for you, obviously.
Well,
but I feel like it's meant to be obviously coming out more and more for people to be available, because it heals on such amazing levels.
Yeah.
It's not for the faint of heart. I think you probably know that. And it takes a little bit of courage. And
a lot of courage.
Once you're in and through, though.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I feel like, and not that I've had children, but the way I've heard mothers talk about having children, it kind of seems like they're afraid of giving the birth. But after you give birth, it just kind of seems like the rest, it falls by the wayside, because you're so happy to have your little bambina that nothing else matters. So, and that's kind of how I've been trying to tell myself in the last day or so, that that's what it's going to be like. I'm kind of giving birth to my, to my clear subconscious. And
yeah, it's going to be beautiful. All this amazing. It's so happy.
And it's a woman's circle. Thank you. I'll definitely let you know how it goes. I'm doing a full like video series. I've already done one section of it.
Oh, that's
my whole drive there. I'm going to try and video while I'm there, but I don't really know how I'm going to feel, and that's okay if I don't get anything done while I'm there. And then I'll do a post integration. So hopefully by the new year, I'll have the amalgamation of everything, because I think it's really important. And, I know a lot of people know about ayahuasca now, and I've known about her for 15 years now, but still didn't take the plunge. I wasn't getting the call. But I still
when you call
to share.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
You'll find time to share, I think, because there's the want to actually share after you have done ceremony, and just, share on camera.
Amazing. Yeah. I'm going to do my best. Oh, yeah.
I will just, I will just send you all the loveliest intention. Totally.
Thank you
so
much.
I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
It's all about the heart.
Yes, it is. Definitely. Heart centering, heart opening, for sure. And dissolving ego and and all of that. I'm really excited for that. I've had some ego deaths naturally in this last year.
They come and go.
Oh, yeah. It's incredibly painful. I lost both my parents and I still didn't experience the amount of grief that I did this year of old ways of living, of just so many different things kept coming up for me this year. And there would just be days where I'd just be lost and the pain. And I'm excited for that. I know it sounds weird, but I'm kind of excited for that to condense into one night, into a way that can really stick, because I have a feeling that that's what happens. Yeah. Do you find that happened with you?
Yeah, I've talked to my parents lots of well. I lost my dad this year. No one say lost, honestly. He transitioned, and my mom transitioned about 5 years ago. So they're both.
We shared that. Yes.
So the for me personally, my mom came through.
Yeah. Oh, amazing.
And my brother came through too.
Wow. Oh, you transitioned as well. Wow.
Yeah. So you might have some really beautiful experiences with your people that have transitioned.
Yes. I'm actually really hoping that was part of my subtle intention as well, because I haven't had any yet. And they've been gone for about 5 years now, both of them. So, I'm surprised. So I was hoping that maybe something might come out.
And if there's anything that needs to be sorted within, say some things that need to be healed during this lifetime with them, that also happens too.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's actually, yes, it's challenging. Yes, you're going to go into it emotionally, yet you're so ready.
Yes, I think so.
You're so ready. And it, that put my idea around this life all the time is that my heart cracks and breaks all the time.
Yeah.
Yet I'm not, I don't, it's okay now.
It's not. Yeah. I was going to say it's not debilitating. It's it's a part of light comes out rather than cracking and bleeding. Maybe is that kind
yeah,
of.
From my experience that my heart just gets softer and softer and softer. And I'm so grateful for it, honestly. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay. Everything's fine. Yeah. Everything is okay.
I need some more of that right now.
Everything's okay.
Yeah.
And
we need that right now more than ever, actually. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think deep down, a fear for a lot of people, the good one is am I going to be okay?
Yeah.
Am I actually deep down, am I going to be okay? And when the heart cracks over and all of that happens, there is that part of me that I've gotten back. I got back something from my childhood to it. Everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. And you survive and you know that you're going to be okay because you keep coming back stronger, wiser, and everything kind of ends up working out. And it's the more times that you have to go through painful processes, the more times you realize, oh, hey, I'm still here. I got this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's always the lessons in it too, and realizing just how supported you are. In this last year, I felt kind of unsupported my entire life somehow, separated, kind of just not quite totally here in my wholeness of my body. And this last year, with all the work that I've done accumulating, I suppose, I think. I feel this space of I'm not very separate. I don't feel too far away from anyone. I just feel supported.
Awesome.
And it's an internal feeling. It's not an external feeling.
Yeah.
And I knew this. So it's kind of remembering and knowing, remembering that I know it. Yeah.
Just a knowing, an innate knowing.
Knowing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose it comes down to a level of faith, trust.
Trust is huge. It's having that no matter what happens, you have something to fall back on. You're falling back on a big pillow top bed and just know that, yes, you're going to fall, but it's going to be a soft fall. And even if you hit a couple sticks on the way down, it's still, you're going to hit that soft bed eventually. You're down there, right? But that trust, it definitely comes down to that trust. And I felt it and experienced it as well. And it's, and the more times that I've had to go and fall down and land on that bed, the more I know it's there, rather than fighting it.
And the inner child and the inner child work around that too, because when you realize you have your own back.
Yes. Oh, huge. Yes. You just.
Wow.
There it is right there. Boom. Amazing.
Have your own back.
And that's so true. You don't realize how much you need to have your own back, and you don't realize that's only. Not only, but that's easily accessible when you do that work and you make that connection and you really make peace and love your inner child. And you realize, hey, we're a team. Like, we got this, you know? Yeah.
Gives me the tingles when you say that.
Oh. Yeah. I love it.
Yep.
Excellent. Yep. Yeah. Well, amazing. We went down little rabbit holes that I wasn't expecting. And I love that about this podcast. And it is the best. I thank you so much for sharing everything, especially what
you're
journey.
Thank you so much.
And your, yeah, and your hypnotherapy too. So how can people find you if they want to work with you?
Definitely on Instagram. One Love Healing is my business name. Joss Hannaford, Facebook. Yes. Yeah, that would be the two easiest. And my website too. It's onelovehealing.com. Yeah.
Onelovehealing.com. Amazing. I will link everything down below. But thank you so much. I'm so glad we finally aligned that.
Yes, I know.
Well deserved couple of months. But hey, we wouldn't have talked about plant medicine because when we were first talking, I don't think I had this lined up yet. So it all worked out for a reason. I just got goosebumps.
I know.
So we were meant to have this part of the conversation, and that wouldn't have happened then. It happened now. So thank you very much.
Yes, thank you as well. Super.
Lovely to connect. And thank you everyone else for joining us. Thanks so much.
Please don't forget. Thank you so much, guys.
Yes, excellent. And please don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe, and find Joss on Instagram and her website, and find me on there too. I'll link everything below. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave me a review. It really, really helps me out. And stay tuned for another episode next week. I'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks so much. Bye.
See you.